You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Monday, so it's time for Shapiro World with David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg. Now, David, I want to talk to you about something that has temporarily stalled the equity bull market. And this is one of the reasons for it, the main reason for it. It says here, Dear Ambassador, President Trump has asked the following message, shared with Prime Minister Jonas Gehr Sturer, be forwarded to your, and then it says named head of government or state. Now, this is the letter. It says here, Dear Jonas, considering your country decided not to give me the Nobel Peace Prize for having stopped eight wars plus, I no longer feel an obligation to think purely of peace, capital P, although it will always be predominant, but can now think about what is good and proper for the United States of America. Denmark cannot protect that land from Russia or China. And why do they have a right of ownership anyway? There are no written documents. It's only that a boat landed there hundreds of years ago, but we had boats landing there also. I have done more for NATO than any other person since its founding, and now NATO should do something for the United States. The world is not secure unless we can have complete and total control of Greenland. Thank you! Exclamation mark. President DJT.
Well, first of all,
yeah.
Where does the Nobel Prize come from? It's Stockholm.
It comes from Norway, but what's it got to do with Denmark? Yeah, this is Denmark. So he sends it to Norway.
Honestly, Lindsay, I understand. I can't believe this is the president of the United States. I can't believe I don't know enough about history to claim that nobody else acted this way. Mm. You know, I don't know enough about the former presidents. I know very little. I know their names probably, but never understanding what they did in office. But each day that we suffer Mr. Trump, but each day that we're exposed to him is another day of fatigue and exasperation. I can't believe this Greenland episode, you know, that he's actually going ahead with it. And he's antagonizing. You can see the response by the European presidents and even European leaders, as well as Mark Carney, who's now come into their assistance. You know, anybody who's NATO, or he said, we will send troops also to Greenland, you know, to help protect it from Russia or China, whoever's going to invade it, which is never going to happen. No one would ever risk doing something like that. And I think they've got more respect, Russia or China, for world peace or for what it might provoke. So I find it, honestly, when I say incredulous, unbelievable that he can go ahead and do this, and without anybody, you know, acting up in government in the United States.
Yeah, there's no filter system. I mean, they should be able to. It should be sent to a couple of mediators or something, or people with brains. They'll say, Mr. President, we know you like Truth Social and everything, but we really think that at 3 o'clock in the morning, because you can't sleep, maybe your mind isn't working as sharply as it normally does. Send it to us first, please. He's rattling off this thing at 3 in the morning or something. As soon as he doesn't get any attention, he probably watches Fox or CNN or ABC, NBC or something. And if he's not the top story, then he'll make himself the top story by writing this drivel. I mean, this is a 79-year-old president of the United States.
Nobel Prize. I mean, to talk about that, just go and do what you were elected to do. Run the country, run it well, make it prosperous. But the way that he carries about doing it is honestly childish, so infantile. Yeah. You know what worries me, though, Lindsay, is that I keep asking – well, who else can we turn to? You know, Macron, Starmer. I think the only one is Merz from Germany, who's showing any kind of statesmanship, standing up to him and maybe saying to him, okay, it's enough, you know, just start acting maturely. We hear you're going to break a NATO agreement, which will kill it, you know, which will break the whole NATO apart. You need NATO, particularly if you need a unified force against Russia, whatever it is. But to carry on the way that he does simply after these episodes in Venezuela, you know, off, I don't know where he ends. You don't know. Lindsay, you know what my worry is? I don't know where this, I don't know how this translates into business. You know, I don't know how this, his imperialistic attitudes, because he enforces that upon business as well. He tells you where you can trade, where, you know, who you can deal with. You can't go into this country. And I've been discussing it with regards to South Africa, because we're not the favorite. No. You know, particularly with our friendship with Iran, and Iran having invited them to observe the exercises down in Simonstown, the naval exercises with China and Russia. You know, our friendly allies and that. So, my worry is that he can go to any business and say, "Okay, we don't want you to deal in South Africa. I don't like South Africa." Regardless of what Congress says about AGOA, I don't like South Africa. But I don't want you to conduct business in South Africa. We had it before with sanctions, where there were sanctions against the apartheid government. But, I mean, he can easily do it to any business.
Though. Yes, but, David, I think what the world has done, and that was proven by that letter from Annabel Bishop that I read, or rather that research note from Annabel Bishop, and I can't remember what the phraseology was. I'm trying to find it here, but essentially what's happening is that people are saying, okay, well, our goods are now 25% more expensive than the United States of America, so our customers won't accept that, so they go elsewhere. And they've been quite successful, the Southern Hemisphere countries, of trading with themselves. Now, here's the article. Please forgive me, David. I know you're not a great you're not a great fan, and you think that America is the be all and end all. But actually, it's not. And I say that in the nicest possible way. Okay. The change in trade patterns, Annabel Bishop says, which has been a key driver of resilience, has included friendshoring, nearshoring, and onshoring. So in other words, people close to you and people that like you. I think that's what it means. So I don't think South Africa, if they've got a good trade minister and a good team, should be too worried if Trump doesn't like them. Because first of all, Trump's not going to be there forever, and all this will be reversed. Go on.
Okay, carry on. No. My view is not against the trade. It's against... Sitting in front of me, I've got Office 365.
Right.
Okay. You know, I've got the software. I use Amazon. I use whatever I do throughout the phone I hold is a Apple phone, whatever it is. It's those companies that are ChatGPT, you name it. Those kind of the software, the programs that I use, those are the ones that I worry about. More so than where we sell our, you know, where we sell our bananas or where we sell our oranges. So I think it's that side of it that they can make things very difficult. You know, withholding tech, withholding medicine, you know, withholding pharmaceuticals, withholding things like
so you think he might phone up the Microsoft and say you're not allowed to supply software, you're not allowed to supply this link anymore.
Yes.
That's easy to get around. It's an inconvenience. But I know what you're saying. Is he that bothered though? He's got so many things on his plate. I mean, one day he'll say, right, who can I have a go at next because I've done everything, and maybe South Africa's on the list. Maybe the whole of Sub-Saharan Africa is on the list.
He's a spiteful man.
Oh, he's a nasty little thing.
You know, and we annoy him. We annoy him because of our friendship and with China and, you know, overtly with China, Iran, whoever, Russia, and so on. And, you know, we put it up his nose. So I think that he can turn very, very spiteful, and he's that kind of person. He can stop visas. You know, he can stop. I know he's got a long list of countries there. It's very difficult to get a visa. I think I might be wrong in what I'm saying now, but if you're in Namibia and you want a visa to the United States, you pay – you've got to put down a deposit, you know, a $10,000 deposit for a visa or something like that. So those are the kind of issues that they can make very uncomfortable for us. You know, if you watch the youngsters here at school, you know, they want to play basketball. Their music is American. It's not that important, but it's still a very important culture as far as we're concerned. People want to still be more associated with the U.S. here, the young upcoming people, rather than Russia or Iran or anything like that.
It's true.
I worry about that.
I don't worry anymore. I sort of got into a situation that you alluded to when we spoke to Viv on Thursday about becoming depressed. At first, you're sort of gnashing your teeth and saying, oh, this is terrible. How can he say that? And you get a bit angry. And then you start to get depressed by it. And you start to say, he can't get any worse than this. And I thought he couldn't get any worse than this with his with his rant about Greenland. And the first one where he mentioned the boats. I mean, the boats, for goodness sake. America wasn't even invented when Danish boats, when the Vikings pitched up wherever it was at Greenland 300-400 years ago. America was populated by Americans, i.e. Native Americans. Mm. They didn't have boats. They had plenty of bison in America. They didn't need to go to Greenland to slaughter polar bears and things like that. I'm being facetious, but you know what I mean.
No, you're right. You're right.
But what worries me this time is that I was watching English or British breakfast television, and suddenly they said, right, we're now crossing to number 10 Downing Street for an address to the nation by Sir Keir Starmer. You don't make an address to the nation calling for unity and everyone supporting each other unless you know that something's amiss, something's afoot, something's a little bit more serious than usual. And I think that this time, the Trump always chickens out thing, the taco moniker that he's got, isn't going to apply because of the midterm elections coming up this year. I think he's going to follow through with something, whether it be bullying people into Greenland into letting him buy the country or buy a small invasion. I'm not sure, David, but it feels different this time.
It does. He's got a lot on his plate at the moment. He's got first of all, his attack on Powell is not going his way. You know, that's there's big opposition to that. He's got the issues in Minnesota with ICE, you know, where there's a mass outcries against the conduct of those ICE agents. You know, the death of that lady. I can't remember her name at the moment.
Good. So her surname was Good.
Whatever it is. Yeah. So there's huge outcries against that. No one's, you know, Venezuela hasn't been well received by the oil companies. They don't want to be forced into doing business there. So I think there are a lot of things that are not, you know, not really going his way. His ratings are still rock bottom. He can't understand that. And he's now got this issue, the Greenland issue, where his allies are coming out against him and vehemently so. So, you know, it's and I think down the line, people are just like, okay, we've had enough. You know, there was opposition to the Powell issue from within the banking committees in Congress. So, and Minnesota, the same kind of thing, mass outcries and that. So I don't think it's all going his way. I don't, you know, doesn't seem that way. And you can see by the stock market, you can see by the bond market. You can see by the
bond
dollar.
Market is the big one. I really do believe that certain people, certain massive investors, and we know the bond market is the biggest market in the world. We talk about trillion-dollar companies on the New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ, etc. But the really, really big money and the money that is important to the United States to keep it afloat, of course, is foreign bond investments. And that U.S. 10-year bond has quietly gone from – 3.98, 3.99% late November, early December, I think it was, when I first said to Skulk Lowe, your mate who you're on TV with every week, I said my tip for 2026 would be to sell the bonds. In other words, the yield is going to rise. Yeah. And here we are at 4.25%. That's a 26-27 basis point move. Doesn't sound like a lot, David, but you know how much money that is? And you look at the 30-year as well. America's going to have a problem, and people's shelter costs every month, you know, it's part of CPI, you know, how much you're paying for your rent, how much you're paying for your mortgage, etc., are not going to go down. In fact, they're going to go up. And that's a big, big problem for Trump.
That's
the rate.
That's his, But the, you see, the short rates are, that's Fed policy. You know, that's your overdraft rate or your overnight rate with the Fed. That's easily controlled by the Fed. But your long rate is the market.
Mm.
And the market is telling you what they think of you. That's why it's so important what they think of your policies, where they think America will be down the line. And they see inflation. They see a burgeoning budget, a deficit, and you know, higher debt. So it's not going their way. It's steady-ish at the moment. But look at gold, you know, heading 4.6 towards 5,000. Platinum is going through the roof. And silver, which is very close to Americans' heart, you know, they've always been silver traders. They just literally taking in the family silver and having it melted down into ingots and cashing it in. You remember, you know, in the old days of dinner parties and things like that, you'd have a silver tray and the sugar basin, you know, and the
not in my house we didn't, but anyway.
You know, now you don't have anything like that. You know, you have Uber Eats or whatever it is. We eat out of packets. But I think anybody who ever got that for either an anniversary, wedding, or engagement, you know, you're now cashing it in. What do we do with the silver? Hey, you know, $90 an ounce. Okay, you know.
Yeah, there will be a scrap trade. There will be a scrap trade. Of course, there will be.
Of course.
Silver $93.45, and mid-October it was $50. It's nearly doubled.
Lindsay, it's mad.
It's astonishing.
I mean, it's crazy. You know, the silver coins you used to get, the tickies and sixpences, you know.
Yeah. Gold is $4,667 an ounce, David. And gold,
well, that's telling you.
The famous story.
You want a gauge? Yeah.
Gordon Brown sold the last of the Bank of England's reserves that he was allowed to sell at $252 per ounce. Well done, Gordon. No, it's a big worry. The whole commodity sector is a big worry. It is inflationary. And I think the bond market will surprise you this year. Whether the equities go with it or not, I don't know. They can dislocate themselves. They normally go in opposite directions, don't they? But this time, I don't know, David. I don't know if we could get a bit of a washout. We need a washout, don't we?
You know what? His conduct worries me. I really mean it. You know, I'm so bullish on the market. When I say so bullish, I thought we were going into a much more peaceful year in which we would focus for the first time in years since COVID back on getting countries into growth, you know, into growing economies, helping creating jobs. I think AI is a big driver. It would have been a big driver or could still be a big driver of growth. And starting to stabilize things where we get back into, not going from one crisis to another crisis. And suddenly within 2 weeks of the new year, 3 weeks, we've got Mr. Trump going mad again, you know, uncontrolled. And with this madness now of Greenland, where does it come from? You know, where does this madness come from? This is going to be invaded.
There was a very good article about a chap called one of the French cosmetic barons. Was it Lauder? I think it was
Ronald
Lauder. Yeah, he's a big mate of Trump's, and he invested a lot in Greenland, and he's had the ear of Donald Trump for a long time. I think it came from him because Trump obviously doesn't know where Greenland is, or didn't until it was pointed out to him. He had no idea. He looks at the map from one side. If you show him the Arctic and America and Russia from the top, he wouldn't know what you were showing him. He wouldn't realize that they're actually right next to each other up there. But you know what I mean. I think it was Ronald Lauder that got him onto this.
The older brother died. There was the two Lauder brothers. The older one died recently.
Could have been that one. But yeah, there was one who had big interest. I mean, how big an interest can you have in a country with a population of 57,000? But anyway, that was the rumor going around. It was him. But whatever it is, he's got a bug in him, and it's an itch, and he wants to scratch it. And scratch it he will.
Honestly,
I think so. So what do? David, you do absolutely nothing. I saw a really good chart. I think it came from Isaac Udendahl. I can't remember where he works these days. I used to interview him, and it said, you know, market, it plotted events. It says, you know, Iraq invades Kuwait, and this happened and that happened, right back to World War II. And it shows you the market reaction. There's a tiny little blip where it goes down, and then it goes shooting up again. So this is a buying opportunity if it continues, don't you think?
Yeah, it will be a buying opportunity, but we just have to overcome, you know, these outbursts and from time to time, and hope that there's not too much damage, you know, that he doesn't do too much, that he quietens down after a while, you know, which is he tends to do. He suddenly says, okay, I've done enough of that. Let's go look for something else. Yeah, it's enough, you know. And I don't think he expected the opposition. He's off to Davos this week, and it's going to be very uncomfortable for him, because I don't think this time, as you say, Keir Starmer, Macron, and the Wirtz, all these leaders are standing up to him and say, you know, behave yourself. And I don't think he can afford to, as much as America, as powerful as America is militarily and financially and that, you can't stand up to a bloc like Europe. You know, you can call them whatever you like. He can't afford to do that. You know, he's got Mark Carney on his borders. He'll have the other, I don't know whether Mexico will get involved or anything like that. I don't think it's in their interests. But, and in the meantime, Xi is just looking at Trump and just saying, you know, shaking his head, say, please just keep doing what you're doing. You know, you're just making me, as you say, with Annabelle Bishop's report or piece, you know, you're just making China more powerful. I don't think Russia's a problem, but certainly China is benefiting from all of this.
If you sit
and
back,
also his fears, you know. Anyway,
the great thing is that he keeps on talking about these Russian and Chinese submarines and warships circling Greenland like hyenas circling a kill or something. They're not saying anything. The Chinese and the Russians are saying what I said in a post that I put onto LinkedIn. I said, just leave him alone and he'll destroy himself. Who was it? It was Napoleon Bonaparte who said that. It said he said something very clever about that. And there was also in The Art of War, there was a quote as well that it basically says, just if your enemy's making mistakes, don't intervene, just leave them. Just leave them to it. And that is what Trump is doing now. He's crossed lines now. He's crossed a big line. The European Union is 400 million people. It's got 100 million more people than America. Yeah. Okay, militarily it's not as strong, but it's got a hell of a lot of purchasing power, David.
Oh, yeah. I know. Of course it has. You know, it's a bit, I always call it a historical theme park, you know, but still, it's very, very powerful.
You're just jealous.
Very powerful block.
Just jealous you can't walk down lovely alleyways and find little cafes and go in there.
You're dead right. I'm not even going to deny that.
I'm just looking at commodities. Silver year on year up 206%. Lithium's bounced back as well. That was in the doldrums. That's up 94% year on year. Platinum 148% in 12 months. These are massive moves, and they will come back to bite Mr. Trump through interest rates and rising inflation and everything else. But the fact is that I'm using AI more, which is a good indicator that the real world is as well, and it's going to carry on. The interesting thing about our chat with Viv was what we'd been talking about before as well. You've got to be selective now. You can't just say, it's got AI. Yeah. It's got AI in the title of the company, so let's buy it. You've got his company, Micron, that he spoke about. I looked at the graph after that.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it, David. What does this thing do?
No, you know, this is all the memory chips, and more so than because you've got to retain all the data that you're producing and developing. So I think we've moved away from the creative chips, you know, those that do all the thinking or the large language models. I'm not a Viv when it comes to understanding the technology, but I think there are peripheral businesses that are going to benefit. And this is one, as well as Samsung. So it's done incredibly well. But you know, the whole chain is the whole AI chain is very interesting. If you've seen ASML, I mean, yes. You know, which is an indication of what is taking place. You've seen TSM, Taiwan Semiconductor's results, which shows you the spending is not stopping. I think we keep going down now, you know, to the data centers where Jensen Huang has said, listen, they're not going to be enough for what we're going to do. And remember, this is, it's not only America that has to build, the whole world has to build. So, and the other one is the power. Oh, we forgot about Mr. Trump saying that the AI must now pay for their own power. You know, you want our utilities to supply you power, you know, we're going to put a 10% surcharge or whatever it is. You know, it carries on all the way. He's like, honestly, it's almost like mafiosa. You know, he's like protection. You got to give us 10% protection. You got to give us this. He's always dealing. I don't know what for. You know, I don't understand whether he's trying to reduce the deficit or what he's doing. But he's every time he opens his mouth, it's going to cost you 10%, 15%. I mean, you know, you don't support us in Greenland, 25% tariffs. You know,
it's like, that's very funny. It's
comical.
It is. It is very childish. I mean, remember when you were at school, at primary school, etc. Yeah. You'd have a best friend. Oh, he's my best friend now. He's my best friend. Mum, can I have my best friend around to play? So yeah. And the next week, oh, I hate him. I don't like him anymore. You're my best friend now. It's the same with Trump. He switches allegiances. He'll hate Keir Starmer now. They're supposed to have this special relationship. I've never seen it. Trump has played Starmer like a fiddle. And I think it's all gonna collapse. I don't think Trump likes anybody. I don't think he has any friends. All he has is people that are useful or not useful to him. That's it. It's simple. Doesn't like his family. Doesn't have any friends. That's the end of it. Nobody likes him.
I must say that I sometimes sit here, you know, and say, where does one go? Where do you find peace and comfort? You know, Australia's not what it used to be, I think, with Albanese, certainly Europe. You know, where does one go to find peace? Where do you find maturity? What's your high watermark? Who's setting the bar high? Which country?
Well, you've got to say what you want, David. If you want some lifestyle advice, we'll get another podcast going with a couple of other people. It's actually an interesting thing because even I'm only slightly younger than you. I mean, I find that I'm making a move to the countryside now, and I can get on a ferry, which is about a 5K cycle ride from where I'm going to live, and I can go to a number of North Sea Frisian islands, several of which don't allow cars. Yeah. So you go there. It's just pieces, a couple of little seafood restaurants on the beach, long, beautiful beaches. Okay, the weather's not exactly like the Seychelles or Mauritius, but sometimes you get a beautiful day. This is beautiful. And when you get there, the peace sort of envelops you. You can feel a definite change from the city when you go to places like this. I don't know why you're living there. I don't know why you do it. Well, I do. Your family and your business, but one day you'll leave, I'm sure.
I must be honest. I seek some kind of peace like that. I would love to live in an environment where I could just walk out and do exactly what you're doing.
Yes.
You know, just get on a ferry or do something. You can't do it here. Not in Johannesburg. I enjoy Johannesburg to a point.
I used to.
I say a point, you know, it's got a vibe. Even over the weekend running around here and that, there's a pulse and there's still a pace, even though it's disintegrating. Lindsay, if I took pictures of some of the, you know, we've had enormous amounts of rain, just to give you a prelude. So what that does is it creeps under the roads, which haven't been repaired. And suddenly you find the foundations of those roads, you know, just being washed away. And then you get these massive potholes. But when I say massive potholes, I'm talking about swimming pool sized potholes.
Sinkholes, in other words,
sinkholes or fish ponds, you know, you can actually breed fish in there. And you just see, you know, I keep asking myself, who's going to repair it? Number one, and who's going to bear the cost of trying to repair it? There's along the way with that, of course, comes outages, power outages, water outages, and so on. And you know, people are strange. They just adapt to whatever's happening around them. You know, they just adapt. They walk around with, oh, well, you know, here's a pond in the middle of the road. I'll just drive around it, you know. You know what I mean? Oh, well, that's the attitude.
South Africans are very adaptable, aren't they? South Africans of all classes and all races. They really do. The country's still there, and it's still a wealthy African country relative to other African countries, of course.
Yeah, they keep saying this is the best place in the world. I say, well, I think I've seen better.
Yeah, it's not the best place in the world. I think that in terms of topography and variety of geography, it is probably a contender for the most beautiful country in the world. But as for the best country in the world, I'm sorry, do some traveling is what I'd say to that person.
I just look out my window and look at the traffic lights here or robots. You know, none of which are working, even though we've got electricity. They just, every day they go out, I say, hold on a sec. When I grew up in Joburg, you know, the levels of IT, of technology, were at a substantially lower level than they are now. But the robots worked, you know. And I said, red. Now, every day they go out. I don't know why, you know. It's just the general... You know, the general infrastructure.
It's decay, isn't it? It's infrastructure, yeah, totally infrastructural decay. And if the local authorities and the state had the money, it would be a bonanza for people that fix these things.
Yeah.
If you can find them, and if it's not a, you know,
they can't even find a mayor. You know, they can't. First of all, I always say, how can South Africa ever progress? When the people can't even read they don't even know what a stop street means. They don't know that you've actually got to stop, or they can't obey traffic, you know, traffic rules. I said, how can you ever take it up to higher levels? You know, you've got to start at the basics. And this place, even as I watch here, you can't believe what goes on a day-to-day basis. I know it's traffic and you say, that's nothing. But it's the mindset. It's the mindset of the people. You know, I'm not going to stop because I don't have to. Why? Because even if there are no cops, so I stand no problem, you know, I'm not likely to get stopped or lose points or do anything. Even if I kill people on the road, I'll get out of it. You know, whatever.
Anyway, let's not be negative.
Why am I moaning about South Africa?
Let's not be negative about South Africa. You started it, by the way. You started it. You said you got depressed, and I told you to, you know, my antidote to depression, and I've taken action. In a year's time, if we're still doing this, David, I'll still be talking to you. You'll still be moaning about a big hole outside your street. I know you. Anyway, David, anything else you'd like to talk about on the business front? Because we've rambled on beautifully.
I think it's America's closed. It's Martin Luther King Day.
Oh, do you see what he did? So here's another moan. Did you see what Trump did? Yeah. I have to tell you, because you've mentioned Martin Luther King Day. On Martin Luther King Day, it's a public holiday, so Americans are allowed to go into national parks for free. And this has been something that has been in place for a couple of decades, whatever it is, ever since Martin Luther King Day was made a public holiday. Trump revoked that
over
the weekend. He said, no. He said, but I'm replacing it with my birthday. You can go to free to the parks on my birthday. Martin Luther King Day.
Me?
Yeah. I mean, I
didn't know this. Are you serious?
Yeah, it was announced this morning. I mean, to me, apart from all the things we've said, it's petty, it's just attention-seeking, etc. It's racist. It is
racist.
It's just something. I mean, because it's Martin Luther King's ancestor. What are they called? children or grandchildren were on CNN today, and they said, you know, we don't know what to do. We're not surprised, but they were talking with a heavy heart. When this was announced, they revoked.
He was a peace loving man. He wasn't an activist.
No,
you know, he was a man to admire. Martin Luther, he was a man of peace. He wanted to bring unity to America at a time where you needed someone like him to stand up. You know, there's a remarkable monument to him in Washington.
Yes, it's I saw it this morning. A beautiful stone, a natural stone
beautiful
monument, isn't it? Yes.
And you know what the worst thing is? I'll tell you something, the worst thing, that I've been there.
Mm.
And please don't take this the wrong way. I don't know how to put it. You never see whites there. It's only, you know, when I visited that and gone there, I've always, it's a beautiful monument, a beautiful piece of art.
Yeah.
you know, America for what it is. You'll only find parties of black people there or colored people, whatever you want to say. And I can't believe it. There's some magnificent monuments there. The one I loved was to the Korean War and so on. And but this one, you know, from if I had to Roosevelt as well,
yes,
you know, around the depression to President Roosevelt. But this one, from an artistic point of view, I absolutely love it. The Martin Luther King.
But it was only attended by black people, black African Americans. Yeah.
You know, you'll find groups that go there. I'll dig up a picture and send it to you.
Yes,
you'll see what I'm talking about. Anyway.
All right. Well, how did we get into that?
He's got a good man.
That. Yeah, it's a holiday today, you were saying, because of Martin Luther King Day, and I went off on a tangent. So there's nothing really to say, David. We've summed it all up.
There's no. I'm just trying to see if there's anything out here today.
No, there's nothing new today. All right.
Yeah.
We can talk about football.
Corporate news or anything. What a weekend. Hey, yo.
It was an incredible.
Did you watch?
Yeah, I watched everything. You know what? What am I going to do?
I know.
I've got nothing to do. Of course I did. But the two games that really stuck out for me, the African Cup of Nations final last night, Morocco against Senegal. Did you see it or did you see the highlights? Have you read the stories?
I read the story, but I mean, because my grandchildren were here watching it, I had to go out to a dinner. And I was sorry to have missed it.
Incredible.
But I think it's disgraceful, to be honest. But
it's disgraceful. What I'm going to say now is I think they should have had a European referee that is used to these type of occasions. I don't think the referee, an African gentleman, had the experience to handle this such an important game, because the African Cup of Nations is a massive tournament now and very important to the African economy in a very short term. But he was so blatantly biased towards Morocco, and people are saying, look, they've had a few friendly decisions throughout the tournament, but this was just blatant corruption to me anyway. There was something going on there. Players don't walk off the pitch like that. They're experienced players. A lot of them play in Europe. And they just said, no, we've seen enough. We can't win with this chap in charge. So they walked off. It was an amazing scene. As for the penalty, well, that was funny. I had to laugh. The Moroccan penalty. What was he thinking? But yes, there was that. And Arsenal and City and Villa all lost in England. Weren't they rubbish, all of them?
Terrible. Absolute rubbish. I have to admire Man United. I think they came back in a way that no one expected them. I think the team of the week, certainly Man United.
Definitely.
But Aston Villa go down, the other Newcastle draw. You know, these are, and there were no goals. There's just nobody scoring goals. And honestly, it's from that. Arsenal were awful. You know, there was not one player that stood out. Credit to, Nottingham Forest for putting up a fight. In fact, there were times that I thought they'd win. But, I'm worried about Arteta as an Arsenal supporter. You know, I don't think he reads the games properly.
Well, he's top of the league by 7 points, David. So, I mean,
he's
reading something.
You know what I mean? He's got a good squad, but like instead of knocking them out and saying we're going for a win, we're going to win this game, he seemed to be backtracking. No one ever kind of you know what I mean. If Madekwe or Saka was on his own, there were three people around him without support because everyone was like hanging back. Anyway, I just get frustrated. I say, just put this away. But as for City as well, look, I know they stretched, but also terrible.
We've got Champions League this week, haven't we? Who are Arsenal playing? isn't it, this week?
They're playing Inter.
Oh, that'll be a game. Inter are doing so well.
I think they already qualified. So if I was Arteta, I'd say, okay, listen, after that awful performance, you know, here you are. You've got a chance in Champions League to make a mark. Play. You know, to take some of the lesser players and say to them, you know, don't be a squad player. Just show that you've got it and come with an aggressive kind of policy or aggressive. They don't need the win, so they can afford to be expansive and try and win. Because they've got Man United, and Man United are pumped up at the moment. I don't know whether they can continue it for 2 weeks in a row, but their tails are up. So you've got to get a team that wants to go out and play them, even though it is at Arsenal. It's a home game.
It'll be a fantastic game. The other one I wanted to talk about, which I know you didn't watch. I was switching between AFCON and this one was Real Sociedad against Barcelona. Barcelona lost 2-1. They had 3 goals disallowed. They hit the post 5 times. That sort of game. You knew they could have played be playing now and not have scored. It was one of those ridiculous games, but it was great fun. Okay, so it wasn't a good weekend for the teams. Yes, please.
Just one thing.
Yeah.
I'm not a great T20 player. I'm not a great T20 follower. But there is appeal because the kids love it. They go there. There's a party, carnival atmosphere, which you haven't got in cricket a long time. And I live across the road from the Wanderers. So I see the crowds going there all the time. And, of course, I've got to follow the local Joburg team. So they need to win this game against Pretoria just to secure their semi-final berth, top 4. They go in, they put Pretoria into bat. Pretoria are 7 for 5 in about 5 or 6 hours.
No.
7 runs, 5. This is T20.
Yeah.
So I say, well, this is going to be over in an hour. You know, they'll rattle off the rest. Anyway, you've got this chap Rutherford, who's a West Indian, and you've got a chap there, Diabolt Brewers. Geez, 144 they finally make off the 20 overs.
That's huge.
From 7, huge.
Yeah.
So I say, okay, we'll rattle it off. Forget it. Lost. We lost.
It's
like being 6-0 up at halftime and losing a game.
I don't want to get into a cricket thing, but that whole T20 and one, it started with the one day is, of course, so decades ago.
Yeah.
And now the T20 and everything. And what's the other one? There's a new one as well called something.
Oh, you mean the 100 balls?
Yeah, the 100. Right? Yes, the 100.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, it's affected cricket at the test level as well, the 5-day level.
Yeah.
There wasn't one test match in the Ashes series, 5 tests, that went to 4 days, I think. I think one went to 4 days. It's not quite the ticket to me. I mean, it's not quite cricket, if you know what I mean.
No, nowhere near it. It's carnival.
Mm.
It's village green stuff.
But fun for the kids, as you say.
First of all, it's got big, big money behind it because of the gambling and betting.
Mm.
And so it's got massive money. It's sponsored by Betway, which is a sports betting site. And so and they attract the crowds because you can bring your kids there. You're all over in 4 hours or 5, maximum 4, you know, whatever it is.
Yes.
And so for the kids, they love it. You know, they run around and they play and everything. They don't have to sit there and watch ball by ball by ball.
Hmm.
But so it's a big money spinner. But it's not cricket in the sense that that the Ashes or anything like that.
Okay, well, we'll continue with a cricket. Now, who is South Africa? Who are the Proteas playing? They've got a series coming up quite soon, have they?
Are they? I don't even know.
Oh, well, you'll find out.
You know what? There's so much sport that you don't know where you are anymore. You know, you just whatever. But I have the lights here. You know, I can see the lights on in the stadium across the road. And the thing is that when you're watching TV, you hear the crowd first, and then you, because there's a slight delay in the transmission. So you know whether there's been a wicket or whether there's by the crowd.
You're a busy person. What with your normal job? You've got the grandchildren, the cousins, and everything running around irritating you. You've got more sport than you can shake a stick at. And you've also got to do the robot and pothole watch every day out your window.
Yes, I know.
Exhausting. David, thank you very much for your time, as always. David Shapiro is from Sasser Insecurities, and that was Shapiro World. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.